Hi, and thanks for tuning in to the Lake Highlands podcast for the week of October 18th. I'm Christina Hughes Babb, the managing editor sitting in for Carrie Mitchell this week, and I'm here with neighborhood columnist Ellen Rath.
Hi.
And neighborhood blogger Carol Toller.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And today we're going to talk about a couple of topics that are in the news this week that might pertain to our neighborhood. The first one is about underage drinking and parents who might or might not know about underage children, teenagers drinking in their house. And the second topic that we're going to discuss has to do with the Boy Scouts and whether or not, well, actually not, gay leaders are not allowed in the Boy Scouts. And that's a topic that has come up recently. So first of all, we'll go to the underage drinking. There's a series in the Dallas Morning News right now. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? You've got it in front of you.
Okay. Well, for the paper I have today is Monday's, and there was another story just yesterday about that it's against the law for our parents to host underage drinkers at their homes. And Rick Womrey, the
our publisher,
right? He posted a blog about that, about yesterday's story, saying that the penalty for parents is really not that high. I think mentioned maybe just probation for a couple years. But right. According to the story in today's paper, a father of a girl who was 17 years old had been drinking and then been told to go home. She got into a car with another boy there who had been drinking at the party, and she ended up getting killed. So the parents are suing the parents who were the quote-unquote hosts, although their story is that they were in bed and they really only kicked everybody out when they thought things were getting a little bit loud.
But they knew that the kids were drinking, or
well, okay,
they just weren't paying attention.
It's sort of not. My opinion is if you've got some loud teenagers in, you know, sort of your guest house area, right, like not underneath your nose, making a lot of noise late at night, you might suspect that there was drinking, and you might say, "Don't go driving." But. Yeah. That's up for the court to decide.
Sure.
So, but the interesting thing is that they may be liable for damages. Now, that's what hasn't been really tested, and it's interesting to know what a court would do about that.
And the damages can be pretty high. Obviously, you know, you could have a death, which would be terrible, terrible. But the financial damages of a car wreck can be, you know, the expense of the cars and the damage that's done or whatever, and hospitalization and those kind of things. So, it, you know, the value of human life overrides it all. But it can be, if you're just even talking about financial damages, those can be really great. You know, part of Rick's point was that there has not in the past been a lot of penalty. And part of the Morning News's point was that perhaps those penalties are becoming more stronger over time, and we'll see how these cases finish to see if that's really true. I think there's a big difference between the furnishers who provide the alcohol and the parents who, you know, their kid says, "Can I have a few people over?" And the next thing you know, it's a full-on party, and alcohol is brought in, and perhaps the parents know, and perhaps they don't know, and perhaps they suspect, and what do you do if you suspect? And, you know, it's hard to figure out where to be on that, and having, you know, four in college, kind of having been through that, I admit that my position on my firstborn might be a little bit different than it was on my fourth kid, and I don't know that that's good or bad, but my experience has been that kids are sneaky. Mm-hmm. And just because kids are doing some drinking in high school doesn't mean they're not great kids. It's a hard thing there's kind of three kinds of parents. There are furnishers, and I think those are rare, but there are some out there, and some of these stories show that. There are the law and order parents, say you absolutely may not, cannot, will not, and if I even hear of you being with someone who is doing something they're not supposed to be doing, I will jerk you out of that party and bring you home. And then there's a lot that really fall in the middle that are kind of don't ask, don't tell. where, you know, I have an inkling that the party you're going to, somebody may have alcohol. I have an inkling that the parents of the house you're going to kind of tend to look the other way. Like I said, with my firstborn, I was a law and order parent, and with the number four child, I had a little bit of don't ask, don't tell. I had some appreciation for the fact that the parents that those kids gravitate toward, their rules may be more lax than mine. However, I do appreciate the parents who say, I know you're drinking. I want you to do it safely. I will not permit you to get into a car. You'll all spend the night here. No, I won't let you go in a room with a person of the opposite sex alone. You know, some of those things. That's not the way I would handle it. It's not the way I would handle it, and that's why no kids want to come to my house. You know, that's why there's no parties at my house, because they know that's my attitude. But I will say I've developed an appreciation for the parents. One of my kids has a great relationship with a couple of dads, and I think it might be some conversations that they've had over a couple of beers, perhaps. I don't know. Don't ask, don't tell. But I think that some of the advice one of my kids in particular has gotten from some dads has been good advice, and about if you're going to go to college and drink, these are some things you need to do and these are some things you need to not do. And, you know, even the law and order parents, I know after prom there was a big party and there was law and order parents searching all the bags and all that, had all the kids in the upstairs game room of her house. The kids snuck out the window, shinnied down the drain pipe, and went and got the bottles they had previously hidden in the bushes and got drunk as skunks. So, you know, it happens.
They are creative.
They are creative, and they are sneaky. I will say one of the things I've learned having sent four off to college is some of the kids who were super sheltered in Lake Highlands that had the most law and order parents go off to college and all of a sudden have a taste of freedom. And some of those are back within 6 weeks because they've been kicked out or you know, the roommate doesn't want them or the school doesn't want them or whatever. Some of the colleges have excellent programs of, I know I have a son at OU, they have a three strikes policy. They'd rather you go home and get treatment before the third strike. They don't want to kick you out on the third strike, but they will. But they'll counsel you, go home and get treatment, get your act together, and come back when you're ready. That is probably a better policy than, kicking you out altogether.
Booting them out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about the fact that your attitude did change. Mm-hmm. And because since my son is a freshman right now, and I think that even with him, I can see that I'll have a different attitude as he gets older. So I'm just curious about if you have any wise words for me.
You know, I believe that if you can keep them from drinking during high school and have them put it off at least till college, it's much better. Part of it is their brain is more developed, but part of it is drinking in college, if they can do it, in a moderate way, it is safer. They're almost always walking to the party instead of driving. There's lots of provisions in college settings for buses to parties, free rides. They do a lot more designated drivers, a lot of that stuff. I know when the kids were back in Dallas for Texas OU, even the ones who live in Dallas stayed in downtown Dallas hotel rooms. Well, that's crazy. I've got this big, beautiful house. Why don't you bring all your friends and stay with us? However, they were walking from party to party to party.
Right.
It's highly possible they were having alcohol, but they weren't drinking and driving, and they were in big groups, and they were safe. So how do you teach your child, if you're going to drink, if you're going to underage drink, be safe, but also tell them, I believe in obeying the law, and you should too? That's hard. You know, we hosted British referees in our home. We would do it every year, and they can drink at 18 in England. And their observations when they were here were that the kids here drink and go crazy and go nuts, whereas back in England, when you kind of grow up with having a beer or an ale with a meal or whatever, that they said it's just not as big of a deal. And they were very surprised that they were not allowed to drink when they're, you know, the 19, 20-year-olds. They wish they could have drank while they were here. Well, that was part of it. But part of it is they question the wisdom of trying to make kids wait till they're 21.
Right. They think that the having to sneak around, one of the arguments is that having to sneak around leads to the binge type of drinking.
I'm not so sure that, I know that that's...
That's an argument. That's yeah, an not argument. Sure we buy that.
What I think it is more, though, is that in this country, and especially in this state, driving is just a part of the culture, whereas
yes.
where they're from, they don't have
they
to
don't
drive
as much.
That's
they
true.
Have a lot more public transportation.
You know, that's an excellent point, because several mm-hmm. of the boys we've hosted don't even have driver's licenses. They
right.
literally walk everywhere, and that is a good point.
So it also mm-hmm. sounds like this downtown hotel room is really responsible of on
yeah,
the part of
yeah, that's responsible thinking for a bunch of drunks. No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're also sheltering their parents.
Yes,
right.
Which,
true.
Right, but I think that we could pretty much agree that the parents that are furnishing alcohol to parties, you know, to large parties of young teenagers,
I think that's
a
completely a
very,
different
very
thing.
Bad idea. And so that's
like
I think
to
the
be
laws
able to trust
that
parents.
We're looking at. Yes, please.
My parents, you know, who are my the ones that will be hosting parties, you know,
yeah,
I just like to be able to trust.
Absolutely. Well, it's fascinating for me because I also have a son that is a teenager, and listening to you two is very enlightening. But we're going to move on to our second topic, which this is a story that came out of Highland Park a couple days, or University Park a couple days ago. A dad that is involved in the Boy Scouts was wanting to be a scout leader. He's involved in the fundraising and everything, and they denied him the opportunity to be a scout leader because he's gay. Ellen has some experience with the Boy Scouts and possibly some opinions on this story.
The opinion I have after reading the story is that, and some of the comments that followed online, the Dallas Morning News
mm-hmm.
story, was that some people, if you're not involved with Scouts, you don't realize that a leader in the Scouts is not the same as a PTA leader, where you... At a PTA, let's say you volunteer, you show up, you do your job, everybody's grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a leader in the Scouts and you're wearing this shirt, you've been through training.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it with more than just your little toe. And the nature of the things you do, not just fundraising, but there's enough rules in Scouting that nothing is very easy,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it should be that way. You have to know the rules, and you just, it's good for the boys, and it's good for the structure of the organization. And I also put in my shameless plug right now
right.
for Boy Scouts, because I really have been so impressed at how good it is for the boys, even Cub Scouts, and we're talking about a Cub
mm-hmm.
Scout pack, which
Cub
is in
Scouts,
the news.
Yes.
And Cub Scouts have a lot of rules because there is so much they do to make sure that there is no that everything is safe
mm-hmm.
On trips. There's no, let's say it's a camping trip. A Cub Scout cannot sleep in a tent with any adult other than their parents. Just a lot of rules. I understand,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that parent mm-hmm. did, what the policy of Boy Scouts is. And I looked it up a little bit. It's not just gays, but atheists.
Yeah, I read that.
Can't be leaders. And here's a little angle on that. I belong to the First Unitarian Church of Dallas, which some of the people there, it's hard to explain, but there are some atheists in the church
mm-hmm.
that believe in making this world a better place while they're here, and they go to church, and it's okay with me. I don't know where else an atheist should be but church. That's fine
topic
if they want to
for
be
another
there.
Day.
But some of them are involved in different Boy Scout troops. Some of them are Eagle Scouts. So the Boy Scouts do not or have stopped recognizing the patch or the pin that you get if you earn your religious knowledge pin as a universalist or it's a Unitarian Universalist, but the church itself still has a program. So there are a lot of scouts in Dallas,
okay.
All over the place who are still earning that religious organization thing. And I guess I'm just saying that in our troop, if someone like that steps forward and wants to be a leader, we are grateful. Now, there are plenty of conservative people. And my take on this story, being from the outside looking in, is that I hope the person who complained about, because my understanding from the story is that one person complained, and so then the policy had to be upheld, that the man could no longer be a leader. I only hope that that person stepped in to volunteer.
To help.
Because it's a lot of...
It's hard to find adult help for lots of different organizations these days, and that is so true. You know, it's a hard question because, from what I understand, there was no complaint about how he did his job. Nobody said he wasn't a good leader or he wasn't a fine person. That was the only strike against him. But from my understanding, the reason the Boy Scouts can make these choices about their rules is it's a private organization and you have the choice to join or not to join. And so I think their right to make their own rules is basically what was upheld, as opposed to...
By the Supreme Court.
By the Supreme Court, as opposed to his rights, you know, to be gay or not gay. They didn't touch that. They touched the Boy Scouts' right to have their own rules. I guess the good news is that gay young men, boys and young men, were not prohibited from participating. It's the leadership role that they have a rule against, is my understanding.
That's right. And I guess what I see being lost a little bit in the whole thing is that, you know, some people will keep their kids out of the Boy Scouts because they don't like that policy. But so many of us just say, well, I'm glad that my son is in the Boy Scouts because it's a great organization as far as what he gets out of it. And so we sort of feel like, well, people who agree with that thinking, we just figure that we'll be there to, you know, sort of hope that things get better. Now, the thing that really is sad, though, was I cannot tell from the story as it's printed, and I suspect that many members in the Boy Scout, in the Cub Scout pack, see, they may not. They may not agree with this. If one person disagrees and if one person complains, and maybe even the leader who is upholding the rule doesn't want to do this, but he has to because it's the policy.
Once somebody says something about it. It's kind of like code compliance. You know, if nobody complains about you having the basketball hoop in your front yard, then you can keep it. But as soon as someone complains, then they come out and cite you for it.
And the truth is, there probably were some very confused 9-year-olds about why their leader...
They probably have no idea what's
going on. And so that was probably some tricky conversation trying to explain that to them.
Yes, interesting. Well, we'll follow up on that story if we get any new news about it. And we're going to round this podcast off with some shameless plugs for things going on in the neighborhood. I believe Carol has something.
I do. One shameless plug I want to make is that in this discussion about parents serving alcohol, one of the voices that has been quoted in a lot of the different articles, including the Dallas Morning News articles and Rick Womry's piece, was Debbie Maripolsky, who is the executive director of the Greater Dallas Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, and she lives in Lake Highlands. And she is a longtime Lake Highlands resident with a daughter at the Lake Highlands High School, and she is highly respected around town, wins lots of awards for all of her hard work. Her position is very clear that the kids should not be underage drinking, and she thinks the passing of the law in Ronald Reagan's days to make the drinking age 21 across the board, across the country, was the best law ever passed in America because it stopped what she called the blood borders, where people were driving from one state to a place where you could drink at 18, buying a bunch of booze, crashing on the way home and killing kids. So nobody wants that. Another shameless plug is yesterday I blogged about Lake Highlands High School possibly being the Fox sports game of the week against Jesuit, and they're still accepting votes. You can only vote one time, but if you haven't voted, go to foxhighlightsdfw.com or just Fox for Texas and find the click on the game and vote for Lake Highlands.
Awesome. And I had two that I was going to bring up, things that people in the neighborhood have brought to my attention, two new fitness places that are in the Lake Highlands area. There's Lake Highlands CrossFit, which whose blog post generated a lot of discussion about the services that they offer there. And there's a new place that teaches, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, Krav Maga. Anybody heard of this? It's a form of martial arts, and it's what the Israeli army trains by, and this is the first one in Dallas, and they just opened, and both of these places offer free introductory classes, so we'll supply that information for you. Anything else, guys?
No.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank Ellen and Carol for joining me today, and thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.